Well, I am glad that all of you are here today, and I look around the room and no one's wearing a face mask, which is good. They're saying don't run out and buy a face mask. They need those for medical staff and infected people. And as I started working on the sermon this week on Monday, so 7 days ago now, I thought about how I was going to address this topic, because it does lead into the message that I'm going to share with you today. And things changed, and I thought, boy, I don't want to prepare to say something early in the week that's going to be totally out of date by the time we get to Sunday, and so I'm not going to make any jokes or anything about the virus, but I really did intend this was going to be kind of the introduction to the sermon, because it does tie in, as you will see. News of the coronavirus, of course, started just a few weeks ago. I know it's been dominating the news, but it was really just in January that news started to come out of China and then other parts of the world, and then cases here in the U.S. Probably now a month ago. And the reactions, I think, from people have been anywhere from, oh, it's just a common cold, to we're all going to die. And I think the reality is somewhere probably in the middle of that. And I am certainly not a medical professional, and I'm not in any way going to offer medical advice today. But because of the confusing messages being sent out, as you know, also the stock market has been, you know, roller coastering up and down, and major corporations have been canceling events, and travel to certain countries have been banned, and they're considering canceling or postponing the Summer Olympics. It might become the Fall Olympics or maybe the 2021 Olympics, but we'll see what they decide on that. But I bring all this up, again, not to give medical advice or to cause you more stress. You come to church to worship God, not to hear about the news or be worried about what's happening in the world. But I bring it up to make a theological point. And that is to say that coronavirus is the latest in a long series of what Jesus called wars and rumors of wars. Right? Bad things that happen in the world. What I mean by that is that all throughout the history of the world, bad things have happened. And people have panicked. And some of the bad things that have happened have actually been really, really bad. They have been wars. World wars, there have been great depressions, there's been terrorism, there's been political upheaval, there's been disease pandemics that have, in fact, killed millions of people throughout history. And coronavirus may be one of those bad things. Or it may fade away as sort of a false alarm. Either way, it raises questions for a lot of people about the fate of humanity and about the end of the world, and will we survive this new great threat that has come our way? Is it a war, or is it a rumor of a war, or does it make any difference? Because people worry about, what does this mean for humanity? Jesus addressed these types of worries. Just days before going to the cross, in fact, Jesus talked to his disciples about these sorts of things that we face in the world. And before I read the passage, I should tell you, just as a point of interest, not about me, but about the Holy Spirit, I plan my preaching schedule usually several weeks ahead. So I planned this sort of series leading up to Easter around Christmas time. And that was before coronavirus or any of this stuff out there. And so I chose this passage thinking that it was interesting to think about what Jesus has to say about the end of the world, just in a general sense. And now here we are facing an issue, not that anybody thinks the world's going to end because of coronavirus, but it raises these issues of the fate of humanity. And so the Holy Spirit maybe knew that we'd be facing this moment. And so now we're going to read this passage where Jesus addressed this 2,000 years ago, not about a virus, but about other things that happen in the world around us. So Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones What magnificent buildings! Do you see all these great buildings? Replied Jesus. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." Jesus' disciples were just as curious as we are about the end of the world, about when's it all going to come crashing down. Give us a sign, Jesus. What should we be watching for? Will it be, the disciples thought, as Jesus himself had just said, "Oh, not one stone will be left on another," speaking of the temple and the great buildings in Jerusalem. The disciples thought, well, will that be the end when the temple is destroyed? Is that going to be the end of time? Or maybe it's when the Roman Empire collapses, the great world power of the time. Will that be when the world ends? Maybe it'll be when man walks on the moon. Maybe it'll be when there's a war in the Middle East. Maybe it will be when disease threatens to wipe out humanity. Is that when the world is going to end? People have always asked these questions. And it's why Jesus talked to his disciples about it. He wanted us to understand how he looked at these sorts of issues. So he pointed to the massive stones used to build the temple, and he told the disciples, "You see these massive stones? They're all going to be thrown down. Every one of them." It was a shocking thing to say. It was a hard-to-believe prediction, and you can imagine walking around Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and the massive stones. If you've ever seen pictures, or maybe some of you have been to Jerusalem, archaeologists have uncovered some of these actual stones of the foundation of the temple that were there in Jesus' time. And by massive, he doesn't just mean, you know, cinder block size, but think the size, you know, two or three stones would fill this room. Massive stones. And Jesus says they'll all be knocked down. And of course, they were. Jesus was telling the truth when he said this. About 35 years later, in fact, the Romans came through Jerusalem in response to uprisings in various places, and they wanted to teach the Jewish people a lesson. And so they totally destroyed Jerusalem, including the temple. And all those massive stones were knocked down and burned and reduced to a pile of rubble. Jesus predicted that. He predicted that the temple would be destroyed. But he was also making a larger point when he said those words. The temple and those large stones, I think, represent something even bigger. In John chapter 2, and this was early in Jesus' ministry, Jesus said, speaking to the Jewish leaders of the time, he said, "Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days." And they thought, "You're crazy. There's no way you could rebuild this building. If you could ever knock it down, there's no way you could rebuild it, not even in 3 years." But of course, Jesus was talking about his own body. "And if you kill me, then I will be resurrected in 3 days." Then again, the temple can also represent human achievements. Scientific, political, economic accomplishments, all the great things that people can do. People really are industrious. We build huge things. We create mighty buildings. We build civilizations. We study the stars. We study the molecules inside of our own bodies. But all of it, one day, is going to collapse. All of it one day will come crashing down. In an even grander sense, the temple can represent the entire world that God created. In all of its beauty, all of its intricate design, the enormity of the universe. Because you see, this world that God created has now been marred by sin, and so it is destined for destruction. And Jesus understood that. But he wasn't being fatalistic. He wasn't just trying to be overly dramatic. He wasn't trying to scare his disciples. He wasn't trying to create a panic. Instead, Jesus was reminding us that God has a plan. There will be a day of judgment. Jesus will return one day. And all of this broken world is going to pass away. And God has that plan in mind. In its place, God will create a new heaven and a new earth, as we heard earlier from Revelation. God's people will go and dwell with Him forever and ever in His glorious presence. And that's a wonderful promise. It's the great hope of our faith. But before we enter into that glory that awaits us, in this life, in this world, we know there's going to be tumult and tribulation, turmoil. And so the disciples asked Jesus the same question that we have: what will be the sign of the end of the world? How will we know, Jesus, when it's coming? What can we watch for so that we will be ready, so that we will be prepared for the end? I think, like the disciples, we want a clear-cut answer. Throughout history, people have looked for a sign. Every war, every rumor of war, as Jesus said, every moment of economic or political turmoil, every disease that has threatened humanity, and people have looked at it and said, aha, this is it, this is the sign. And they read Scripture and they say, oh, look, it must be this. Now the end is coming. Jesus is going to come today or tomorrow. It's as though humanity has an internal clock, and maybe God created us this way. And we can sort of feel it ticking toward the end of time. And we know somehow, some way, the end is going to come. And so what we really want to know is when. We know it's coming. When? And so Jesus answered his disciples, and he told us, as we read his words now 2,000 years later, and I'm sure his disciples, Peter and James and John and Andrew and those who were talking to him, they probably thought in our lifetime it's going to happen soon, it's going to happen right now, but now 2,000 years later we're still reading these words. And Jesus gave a clear and simple answer to the question. It may, however, not be the answer that we expect. And so we'll get to Jesus' answer. But the first thing that he told us is that Jesus warned us not to fall for deceptions. Don't fall for the deceptions. Jesus knew that two things would happen all throughout history. The first is that false prophets will come raising or ringing false alarms. False prophets are going to come. Today we call it, what? Fake news, right? A generation or two ago, they called it misinformation. It's false prophets. The world's going to end tomorrow. This is the sign. Look what happens. I know this is it. Jesus also knew that people want to listen to the false prophets. Right? People are drawn in by those messages. There's something inside of us that likes to hear the doomsday predictions. We're attracted to it. We fall for the false alarms because we believe that the new bad thing must be the worst bad thing that has ever happened, and there's no way we'll ever survive. So how do we keep ourselves from falling for these deceptions? Well, it's the same way that we grow in our faith. The same way that we stay close to Jesus. It's sort of a vaccine to protect us from falling for the deceptions. Number one, read the Bible for yourself. Read God's Word. Don't just listen to what others tell you, especially if you've never heard what they're saying before. And you hear this all the time. People come up with some new interpretation of Scripture, some new way to read an old prophecy, and they say, aha, this is it. Now I know Jesus is coming back tomorrow. If you've never heard the interpretation before, it's probably not true. But go to the source for yourself. Read Scripture. God's Word brings us hope and peace and wisdom that again can inoculate us against the fear and panic of our world. Number two, listen to the Holy Spirit. God wants you to know the truth. God doesn't want you to listen to the world's messages that are often not true. Instead, He wants you to listen to His messages that are true, and that's why the Holy Spirit dwells within us, to speak that wisdom to us, to give us God's own message that can guide us in wisdom and truth instead of fear and worry. And number three, stay connected to the body of believers. That's why we're all here this morning. You could all worship in your own homes. You could just say a prayer and think that's good enough, but we gather together as a church because we need each other. We help one another read God's Word. We help one another listen to the Spirit. And together we can understand what God is saying to us, and that will keep us from falling for the misinformation of the world. Jesus also told us this. Bad things happen. But that doesn't mean that the world is about to end. Right? Bad things happen. We know this is true. Anytime something bad happens, remember what Jesus said in verse 7 here. He says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Yes, bad things happen. Wars. Wars are terrible. Coronavirus causes sickness. Some people have died. It's a bad thing. The stock market may collapse. People may panic. People may fear the worst. But we don't need to give in to that fear. When bad things happen, remember these three things. First, Jesus told us that bad things are going to happen. Right? God's not surprised. Jesus is not panicking when He reads the news. Oh, I never thought this would happen. No, Jesus knew bad things would happen. Second, other bad things have happened before. Every generation lives through turmoil and upheaval. Every generation thinks what we experience must be worse than what they experienced, which probably just means you haven't really read history because we have it pretty easy. And number three, no matter how bad things get, God is still in control. Again, it's not a surprise to Him. He's not powerless against the new, bad, terrible thing that's going on in the world. God still has a plan to send Jesus back at just the right time. In fact, all of the bad stuff, Jesus said, is just the beginning of birth pains. Wars, earthquakes, famine. Doesn't mean that the end has come. Instead, they're reminders. They are signs that, yes, there will be an end. This world is not going to last forever. But they are just the beginning of the end, not the end itself. These sorts of things have been happening since before Jesus was born. They've been happening all through the church age. And false prophets all through the history of humanity have misinterpreted them as signs of the end. And so Jesus tells us, don't panic. Don't be alarmed. The end is still to come. Jesus also addressed another popular misconception within the church. And I think he was sort of looking ahead to the church age, and maybe he understood his own disciples. He definitely knew what they would experience later in their lives. But he understood that the church would kind of fall for this sort of false prophecy again. Believers often point to an increase in persecution of the church as a sign of the end of time. Right? When Christians are oppressed or imprisoned or killed, people start to think, oh, this must mean that Jesus is about to return. But that's not how Jesus looked at it. In fact, he told us this, persecution is a sign of the church's faithful witness, not of the end of time. Jesus told his disciples, you're going to be arrested. You're going to be put on trial. You're going to be flogged. You will be forced to give testimony about your faith in me before kings, before governors, which, by the way, is exactly what happened to Jesus before he was put to death, and exactly what happened to many of his disciples and that first generation of believers before some of them became martyrs. And it's happened throughout the history of the church. But for Jesus, that sort of persecution was not a sign that the world is about to end. Instead, it's an opportunity. It's an open door for Jesus' followers to witness, to share the gospel story, even to kings and governors and to all the ordinary people of the world. When we are persecuted for our faith in Jesus, the Spirit will enable us then to share the good news in even more powerful and persuasive ways. Through the church's faithful witness, Jesus says, the gospel will spread to all nations on earth. And if you want a sign of when will the world end, maybe that's one, that the gospel will first reach every nation, every people group, every language on the face of the earth. And by the way, 2,000 years after Jesus, we're still working at that. There are still languages in which God's word has not been translated. There are still people living on the earth today who, in all the history of their generations of ancestries, have never heard about Jesus. But persecution, it's not a sign of the end. It's not something we should fear. It's not something we should hide from. Persecution is evidence that the church is being faithful. And maybe it's true in our case, in the church, in our culture, that we're not persecuted enough because we're not faithful enough. Maybe we're not speaking the truth of Jesus loudly enough. Maybe we're not pushing back against the darkness and the powers that are coming against the church enough. And it's why we are still so free. Now, I said before that Jesus answered his disciples' question. They ask, when is the end going to come? What's the sign to watch for? And I think this is a good way to understand how Jesus answers that question. Many signs point to the beginning of the end. But only God the Father knows when Jesus will return. In other words, bad things happen in this world, like coronavirus, like wars, like earthquakes. But these aren't signs that the world is going to end today or tomorrow. Instead, they remind us that, yes, someday the world will end. This world isn't going to last forever. That's not God's plan for it. Someday Jesus will return. And for us, that is good news. It's not something to fear. For us, that is the great hope that we have, that we long for Jesus to return. We long for Him to come and bring an end to all of the hardship and suffering and tumult and turmoil of this world. We don't fear the final judgment because we know that Jesus has paid for our sins. God declares us righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we can live with faith and with hope and with joy even through the turmoils of this world. Even when the world is panicking, even when people are fearful, even when the church is persecuted, even in the face of spiritual opposition and oppression, we can have hope and faith and joy. And so in the meantime, in the time that we live in now, as we wait, as we watch for Jesus to return, we continue the mission of the church. We share the love and message of Jesus with a world in need. That's what we've been called to do since Jesus walked the earth. So Jesus' final answer to His disciples' question, and our question, comes later in Mark chapter 13, after a long teaching about all the things that would happen and all the difficult things that we would face in this world and how God would be with us and with the church through all generations. And then finally, Jesus says this in verse 32. He says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven. Nor the Son," Jesus says about Himself, "but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come." Even Jesus didn't know when He would return. No one knows when, but we know for sure that one day Jesus will return. And this world, with all of its wars, all of its rumors of wars, will end. And God will take us, God will take all of Jesus' followers to be with Him forever and ever in the new heaven and the new earth. And then there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Let's give thanks to God for that great promise. Father, we do give You thanks today. We thank You for the assurance that You walk with us through the tumult of this world. Lord, that You're not surprised or overwhelmed by any of it. You never fear, You never panic, and You don't want us to either. So, Father, give us faith and hope. Teach us, Lord, to watch, to long for Jesus to return. Lord, it's our desire that He would come today. But in the meantime, Lord, as we wait and as we watch, help us to be faithful. Help us to continue to share Your love with the people around us. Help us to keep spreading the good news of Jesus and to share that great hope that we have, that even through the difficulties of this world, we look forward to that time and You'll take us to be with You forever and ever. Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your provision. And we pray that You'd help us to have that faith deep in our hearts and to walk with You in hope. We ask this in Jesus' name.